How are you guys this morning? Right, we're going to shoot through this. We're speaking on the subject of prayer. You know, we're talking about seven fundamental things that need to be understood, or rather mastered fundamental skills, that need to be mastered spiritual skills in order for you to be a high impact person, spiritually speaking, even in every single thing that you do. The seven fundamental spiritual skills you must master. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that they were unskillful in the word of righteousness. So there is skill, all right, when it comes to the application of God's word. The Bible tells us that God led Israel through the integrity of David's heart and through the skillfulness of his hand. And so this morning we want to continue now on the subject of prayer. And we started out last week and we did see that John talking about prayer. Now, if you're coming from outside town, outside Lagos, or in any nation outside this, just put it up there so we can know how many, where you are reaching, or where you are reaching us from. All right. Bolanle, I think I see you, Shibuati. All right. All right, so we're talking on the subject, or speaking on the subject of prayer. And it was John who made a very powerful statement. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. So this is the confidence, this is the audacity. This is the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And then he says, and if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have those things that we have desired. Or no audio? Can you hear me, please? Sound said no audio. Let me just know. Do you have audio? Just wave at me if there's some audio. All right, people are putting up their place, so they have audio here. All right, okay, put it up then. All right, then. So I'll start again. So we're starting our series on the subject of prayer here. And we said, last week here, we said John made a very powerful statement. And what he said was, this is the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hears us, then we know that we have those petitions or those things that we have asked him for. So he said, if we ask, or if we pray according to his will. Now, in the law, spiritual law, there's what you call it, law of double reference, which means you can look at it from two sides as a two-edged sword, the word of God. And one dimension of looking at it, and it was Charles Capps that first brought this to my mind, he said, all right, if you ask anything according to the will of God, that is, if you pray according to God's will concerning prayer. So if you ask according to his will concerning asking, then you know that he hears you. What do we mean by that? In order to be effective, or to use any tool effectively, you have to use it according to the will of the manufacturer of that particular tool. So if I want to make use of this telephone here, then I have to use it, which means I've got to press the exact buttons that the manufacturer of this smartphone, all right, instructed that should be pressed in order for you to create visuals and to have this kind of video and transmission that we have. Now, if I press other places, then nobody is going to see me. I have to do it according to the will of the person concerning that particular thing. So when we pray, it says you've got to pray according to God's will concerning prayer, according to the instructions of God concerning the subject of prayer, and then it will become effective. Now, when we don't pray according to God's will concerning prayer, we'll see this. We don't get the results we ought to get, and then we develop some theology, all right, that is not scriptural in order to explain, right, the failure that is going on in the place of prayer. So we said last week, and I'll start off from this. First thing you've got to understand when you pray is this. In the book of Philippians, it tells us clearly that be anxious for nothing. And we'll talk about this, the role of your thoughts, which means uncontrolled thoughts, all right, that are full of fear. Anticipating the wrong thing will block the effect, all right, and the effectiveness of prayer, right? Your thought life is almost as powerful as your utterance in the place of prayer. That's why Paul, at the end of it, said, "And the God of all peace," all right, "will give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding." He now said, finally, he said this, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things of good report." In other words, above all this, your thought life must be regulated until you get the manifestation of the peace you received in the place of prayer. So many people have prayed and received an assurance and a peace on the inside, but they have left their thoughts, all right, to go wild. Okay, the Bible says, "Any man who is double-minded, let not that man think he will ever receive anything from God." Now, when he says receive, it doesn't mean God hasn't given, for his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There is a difference between a person receiving and God giving. God has no inhibition to give, but can that person or will that person receive it from God? So he has already given all these things over 2,000 years ago. Now it's about receiving by faith. And he says, if a man is double-minded, if he has no control over his thought life, it tells us that let not that man consider the idea that he's going to get anything from God. So he says, be anxious about nothing, all right, but in everything, by prayer and by supplication. Now, maybe next week I'll teach on that, because the word he used was petition and supplication. And these are two different kinds of prayer. That's why he used those words. There are two separate Greek words there, petition and supplication. So you use two instruments to make your request known unto God. So in the prayer, your request is made known unto God. And then he says, the peace of God, he says, with thanksgiving. And then he says, and the peace of God. So we said the first thing you've got to understand is that every prayer that will be offered according to God's will concerning prayer must be offered with thanksgiving. Praise has to go with that prayer. You don't just offer up a prayer without a voice of thanksgiving. David said, he made it very clear. He said, "I shall call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." The mixture there of prayer and praise is what David said he will apply in order to see God's power that will deliver him from that particular situation. If we read the book of Revelation chapter 8, and it tells us about how heaven is right now, if you read it, you'll find out that there was silence in heaven for a while. And then the Bible says, until the angel came with the incense that he offered up with the prayers of the saints. And then the prayers ascended into the throne of God. So until incense was offered with the prayers, those prayers did not cause anything to happen. The minute incense was offered, which means thanksgiving and praise goes up with the prayer there, then what happens was that the seal was opened and angelic activity began upon the earth. So it's important that when you offer up your prayer, all right, you don't offer it up, you offer it with a deep sense of gratitude unto God. That's why one of the things that the nation of Israel tells us in the book of Psalm 78, that he said, "You must teach your children, and our fathers taught us this." There were three things they taught them. The first thing that they taught them was that, all right, you must set your hope in God. The second thing they said is you must never forget the works of God. Never forget what God has done in your life in the past. When you are bringing up any prayer unto God about something new you want him to do, offer it up with thanksgiving to God for his faithfulness in your life about previous things that he has done. Thanksgiving, all right, which is praise, all right, that you offer up, the sacrifice of praise, all right, that you bring with your prayer there. So incense was always offered up with the prayers of the saints in the Old Testament, and that incense translates to the sacrifice of praise here, the voice of thanksgiving unto God. You can go and read about Zechariah when he was praying. The Bible says it was in the time where incense was being offered that everybody without the temple began to pray. That is, the Jewish people understood that once incense is going up, begin to throw your prayer points there, because it's the incense that causes prayers to ascend in the realm of the Spirit. And the incense in this New Testament here will, all right, be the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. As we are people of thanksgiving and praise, right, that's why God says in Psalm 81, open your mouth wide. That was in praise, he said, and I will fill it in answer to your prayers. So open your mouth wide in praise, and God says he will fill it in answer to prayer. So rule number one, make sure your prayers are offered up with thanksgiving unto God. There must be no sense of ingratitude. You can't complain. You can't murmur. You can't come with this disposition like God. When you come with a deep sense of gratitude and offering up praise unto him, before there is any sign of any manifestation, you must have satisfied the courts of God with a voice of thanksgiving that it is already done. All right? So, you take your prayer unto God with a voice of thanksgiving. The second thing you must understand about prayer is this. Your prayer must be specific. Now, when you are petitioning God, you must be specific. In other words, you must be asking for something that is known to you and you are specific about it. That's why he says, make your request known unto God. You have to be specific. You know, there's an interesting story in the book of Matthew chapter 20 from verse 29 to verse 34. You can read it. Matthew 20, 29 to 34. And these were two blind men who started crying out to Jesus. And they said, Son of David, have mercy upon us. Now they were blind. Son of David, have mercy upon us. Son of David, have mercy upon us. Son of David, have mercy upon us. And then Jesus turned around and looked at them and said, what will you that I should do unto thee? Now it's like, hey, Jesus, we are blind people, all right? We are shouting, Son of David, have mercy upon us. And then you are asking us again, what will you that I should do unto thee? Now, Jesus was a perfect manifestation of the Father. He brought the Godhead into flesh. So if you are just praying, God have mercy, God have mercy, God is going to ask you, how do you want me to have mercy unto you? You have got to be specific. You are praying when you go to court, you know exactly what you want the court to do. You know the way you want the judge to rule. So you pray the court and bring your petition according, all right, to that which is inside your heart. So you have got to be specific when you are petitioning God. Now, I also want to say something here about being, all right, specific here. What this means is that you must have a revelation, all right, from God, which means God has got to show you his mind concerning that particular thing you are praying about. Now, a petition means you are offering a specific request unto God backed up by what is written. So if a lawyer goes to petition the court, the reason why you need a lawyer is that, well, you know that there are tenants in your house and you want these tenants to get out. But you can't just go to court and say, tenants, get out. So what you do is that you go to the lawyer and the lawyer cites the area in the law of the land when he petitions the judge on your behalf to get the judge to execute judgment, all right, for your own specific request. But he has to cite areas inside the word of God. Now, I want to show something here, right? Because those blind men cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, they made their request known, but it was backed up by their covenant with God. They were Jewish people. And so they said, Son of David. They called him by a particular name. And Jesus responded to that name and said, because I am the Son of David, I must have mercy upon thee. It was a covenant that God had with the nation of Israel, and they called Jesus by that name. So there was knowledge in what they were doing. Now you say, how do I know? Go and read the Syrophoenician widow's account, all right, of the very same thing. When you read the Syrophoenician widow's account in the book of Matthew, you'll find out that the Syrophoenician widow cried out to Jesus and said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Come and heal my daughter. The Bible says Jesus answered her not a word. She said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. All right, she called him by his covenant name. And why Jesus did not respond was because she wasn't, all right, part and parcel. She was a Gentile. You couldn't just call him. That was meant for Jewish people in terms of their covenant with God. So Jesus looked at her and said, I am only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. No, before that, then the Bible says she worshipped him. So she changed it and just worshipped him. No longer called him son of David. Just worshipped him as God. Then he turned around and said, I am only sent to the lordship of the house of Israel. And it's not meet for me to take the food, all right, of the children from the table and give it to dogs. And immediately the woman saw what she could do. She said, well, we are dogs. We agree. We don't have this covenant relationship with you. However, crumbs from the table do fall down. All right? Crumbs from the table do fall down where dogs can partake of them. And Jesus said, based on that understanding, go thy way, which means from the crumbs from the table, go thy way, your daughter shall be made whole. So there has to be the knowledge of God's will concerning that particular thing. All right, now the way you get into it is by speaking in tongues. So what I want to say first, before you get into the place where you utter your prayer in specific terms before God, spend some time praying in the Spirit and reading the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you do not know how you ought to pray or what to pray as you ought. In other words, you really don't know how to petition God in this particular thing. So I'm going to help you to get your prayer right. So he starts making intercession for the saints according to the will of God, which means what God wants you to pray in exact terms, the Holy Spirit now begins to make that intercession. And so he wants your spirit now to pick it up and get the intelligence of God concerning that particular thing so that you can pray the word of God or pray, all right, what we call the rhema, the specific revelation God gives you concerning that situation back to him. Because when you pray the word back to him, then he cannot and it cannot be denied. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's the remas now, specific scriptures, all right, that I have shown you concerning that particular thing. If those things abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That's your request, and it shall be done unto you. So the catch here is if you abide in him and his words now abide, which means his specific scriptures concerning that thing. And the way you get it is by spending time praying in tongues. That's how you fellowship, all right, with God. They are praying in tongues, and then the Holy Spirit can do his work, all right, because we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, that we may know those things that are freely given to us of God. So we come to know the things, right, that God himself wants to do in that particular situation there. So spend time, all right, praying in tongues there. Get the specific scriptures there so that you can offer up your request and petition him according to his will. You get what we're saying here? So you petition him according to that which is written concerning it. So God's will concerning thing must be revealed, all right, unto you. So spend time praying in tongues to know by the Spirit God's intelligence and mind for that particular situation so that you can pray intelligently in getting your prayers or cooperate intelligently. Because in believing that you receive, you must know exactly what you are receiving from him. Another dimension there of prayer is this. In Isaiah 55, God said, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Now, many times we look at that and just say that, you know, we say that when God speaks, which might be true, all right, but that's not the intent of that scripture. When God speaks, it says his word shall not return to him void. Now, if you really read it in Hebrew, it says, whoever has my word and brings my word back to me, which means the word returns to me. In other words, if rain is going to fall, it is from the ground, from the ocean, from the sea, that there's evaporation that goes back to the clouds that causes rain to fall there. So he says, if my word is brought back to me, it returns to me, he says, it shall not be void. In other words, whoever brings it back to me is not going to go out empty-handed. He says, my word, all right, that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return to me empty, which means take God's word and bring it back to him in prayer. bring it to him. He says, but you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. In other words, when you pray the word of God back unto him, then what happens is that you break through in the place of prayer. You are going to get results. You're going to go out of that place of prayer with joy, and then you are going to be led forth in peace. So it also tells us that the results of your prayer, which is the peace of God that passeth all understanding, you are going to be guided and led. And once you follow the guidance and the leadership of the Spirit of God, then the mountains and the hills will break forth before thee, and there'll be rejoicing. So we've said, go with thanksgiving. All right, make sure you ascertain what is the mind of God. Remember that there shall be a performance of those things that were told you by the Lord. God is committed to perform what he says. It is what he has promised that Abraham believed God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, you must get the mind of God on that subject there and then petition him, which means in a petition, a prayer of petition, your specific request is being made known unto the Father according to what he has revealed to you, all right, concerning his will, all right, about your life. So you ask in very specific terms. So those two blind men knew, because they had a covenant with Jesus about healing, all right, based on the fact that mercy was made available to them, and their understanding of mercy and forgiveness was, who forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth us of all our diseases. That's what you find in the book, all right, David's book in the Psalms. Once there's forgiveness and mercy, then there must be healing. So they said, have mercy upon us. That's why Jesus sometimes will say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or he will say, arise, take your bed and walk. Forgiveness and healing went together. So mercy and healing. So they understood the covenant and prayed that covenant. But Jesus said, then ask in specific terms. Don't assume that because I am God, all right? God knew everything. He knew they were blind. Why did Jesus now say what exactly? It's so that you can receive it, not that so that he can know it. Because if you are not specific, then it is difficult for you, all right, to be able to receive it. Then number three, all right, I want to get into your attitude to God, all right, in the place of prayer. I'm going to stop with this one. And many people say that, you know, God delays sometimes. Now, that's not in the Bible. Now, I explain to you. People say, well, God delays. There's a time factor. Yes. If there's a time factor, then God will reveal that to you if you get to him in the place of prayer. Because the Bible says that the prophets inquired and searched diligently what and what manner of time, and God revealed to them the time where it was going to happen. God doesn't leave people in the dark, which means just be believing me at the set time. He will show you, all right? He will say it's for an appointed time and give you clearly when this particular thing will happen. He said 70 years you will be in bondage. It's not just we're just there, all right, and just there and just there, and God is just delaying. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something here. God, you must understand God's attitude towards you as a person. All right. When you say God delays in his answer, then what you are saying is what Peter said when he said some people say God is slack. You know, that's what he was saying. All right. That God is slack. All right. He says God is not slack concerning his promises. Slackness means you are just reluctant, you delay. He said he is not slack concerning his promises, but, all right, he's not willing that any should perish, but come, all right, to repentance. So many are asking him, all right, so he's not slack concerning his promises. Now, many people that are talking about delay, look at what he says. He says he's not slack concerning his promises. In other words, if you're asking for something that he didn't promise, then you can see slackness because God didn't promise you that. That's why we go back to knowing the word of God. He's not slack. Once is what he has promised you, there's no slackness there. God is going to move on that promise to fulfill, all right, that particular thing, all right? So God is committed to what he has promised, and there is no slackness. God is time sensitive. He says, come up to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God understands time. And he also is sensitive, all right, towards, all right, time. Now, understand the nature of your father. Because Jesus came and said he's your father. And he tells us in the gospel, all right, gospels there, he tells us, He says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, all right, won't the Father give good things? So for us to say that he is reluctant to give, all right, we are, all right, misrepresenting his fatherhood. Will you see your child in serious problem and say, well, just for no reason, I just will delay it? You will move within that time frame in order to do something. So we have to get a right concept of God. Now, there will be slackness, and this is why many people teach delay. They teach delay because God didn't promise them those things in the first place. So they are not getting through. So they say, well, God is just delayed. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Now, it's important that we look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28. Let's quickly look at this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28. All right? It talks, Proverbs 3 and verse 28 tells us about the fact that... Now, what's this now? 1 second, please. Proverbs 3 and verse 28 tells us that God says he doesn't want us. Oh man. All right. Now, what that scripture says, let me just get out of my head here. What the scripture says, all right, is that, you know, do not tell your brother if you have the power to do good, tell him to go, all right, and come tomorrow if you have, all right, while you have that particular thing beside you. If it's in your power to do good, don't tell your brother whom that thing is due to that go and come back. He considers that to be an act of wickedness. Now, if God says in Proverbs that you should not, if you have the ability to help somebody, you should not, all right, delay in helping that person, right? He considers that as wickedness. Your brother, if you don't help him, why would that same person now say, I'm delayed, when he has the ability to do it? And this is the picture Satan wants to paint. He wants us, all right, to have this understanding that God is all powerful, but God is reluctant to use that power on behalf of his children, even when they're in desperate situations. So that he paints the character, because God is not power, God is love. He paints and distorts the image of the Father as love, all right, and replaces that with a powerful being that is reluctant to use that ability on the people, all right, that are in need. So debunk that. Make sure you find out what God is saying, right? If there is a time attached to it, God himself will reveal to you the time. So you know that this is going to take 10 years. This is the appointed time, all right? And all of that. But just in darkness, we are just waiting on God. All right. God is delaying. That's not scriptural there. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men are teaching slackness. He's just not willing that any should perish. We'll talk about this, but should come to repentance. In other words, certain adjustments have to be made in your own life in order to be able to cooperate effectively with God. And then lastly, and I'll continue here next week, you must ask in faith. James said, if anybody asks, let him ask in faith. He says, and let him not waver or be double-minded about it. He says, because let not that man think he will ever receive anything from God. Now, what does it mean to ask in faith? Mark 11, 23 and 24 describe it. It says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he said will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. He said, therefore, which means this is there for this. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. In other words, he says, the way you are going to receive is by the things that you are saying. Whosoever shall say and will not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he's saying will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he is saying. He now says, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, make your request known. He said, believe that you have received. In other words, how are you going to say, believe you receive and you shall have them? What are you going to have? He shall have whatsoever he has been saying. In other words, your words must be consistent with your prayers. That's what it means to ask in faith. When you are not in the posture of prayer, your words every day must be consistent and supportive of those things that you're saying. Because when you enter into prayer, you must believe that you have received it. We're going to talk about next week about conceiving those things in your heart while you are praying and having a clear image before you. This is very important in the place of prayer. In other words, you have it, which means you believe you have received. The Bible tells us that, all right, Abraham received Isaac back in a figure. So you must have the figure of that particular thing. That's what it means to believe you have received. So Jesus was saying your words must have formed the image of that very thing you are praying, so that when you enter into the place of prayer, you have that image impressed upon you. That is the hope. And then he says, through prayer, you are going to have it. So you must be in faith, all right? You have to have a consistent confession. You cannot be saying things that contradict. Remember what happened to the nation of Israel. God said, I swore by myself that I have given the land to your fathers, that I have given you the land. None I'm going to give. He said, but tell them, he told Moses, that they shall know the breach of my promise, me breaking my promise. For tell them this, he said, whatsoever I hear them say, that exactly is what I can do. So if you're going to prayer to get God to do something, it has to be consistent with the things that you already have been saying. Now, we're going to stop here. Next, we'll continue on this subject of prayer, I believe. All right, you gain certain things. I have looked at some of your questions. We'll address this within this series that will go on for about 7 weeks. All right, so we master the art of praying there and make sure we do it effectively. All right, may God's face shine upon you during this Easter period. May his hand stretch forth this moment upon your life and let his invisible power begin to work within that situation that you are believing God for. I join my faith with you for your healing. I join my faith with you for the manifestation of the promises of God. Go out this week in joy and in peace, and it shall be as you have said out of your lips. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for watching. All right, tell your friends, it'll be up for 24 hours. They can still see it. God bless you.